Corn is candy. Day 15, 285.8. One of the basic rules of the Cray-Ray program is to take it really easy during the potato phase. Some people even cut out the potatoes and turn it into a fast, consuming nothing but water. But I was a weird case. I needed to actually eat potatoes during the potato phase because I was doing shows every night. And that turned out to be more activity than Cray-Ray or I thought. I was running around yelling and thinking for a couple hours a night. I would have liked to have done the first part of the diet as a potato vacation. When I think about going to some cabin in the mountains and eating potatoes, reading, napping, and fucking for 2 weeks, it seems pretty perfect. But I don't take vacations. Since my family was out of town, I could rest, nap, and watch the Three Stooges during the day. But I still had our show every night. I was deep in Cray-Ray's metabolic winter, cramming down the spuds and dozing, but I still had to get up and run around every night in a bright summertime show. I wasn't really doing potato time right, and still, it was getting results. And it wasn't that hard. It was more extreme, crazier, and easier than any diet I'd ever done. The Monday before Christmas, Godot came over and we hooked up the Sans-Air. Corn was a big deal, so we were going to make putting plain corn in boiling water as gourmet as we could. I vacuum-sealed our corn, took me 4 tries, I'm an idiot, and dropped into the perfect temperature water, and we timed it to the second on our phones. We could have just dropped the naked corn in the pot and pulled it out after a while, but we dug the process. Godot and I like to laugh. No one laughs easier than Godot. Godot has a love of life that's inspiring. He's one of my co-hosts on Penn Sunday School, and he giggles through the whole show. Some asshole on Twitter said he's just a sycophant sucking my comedy dick, and I guess you could feel that way if you never spent time with him outside of the podcast. Godot giggles through our pre-show prep. He giggles through the post-show discussions. He giggles on the way back in his car, and when you call him in the car, he answers with a giggle. When he does his brilliant 12-minute juggling show, he giggles through the whole thing. Godot was one of my best friends, and I've watched him go through some pretty bad times. I've seen Godot cry, but I've never seen him far away from a giggle. I asked him once why he giggled all the time, and he explained that when he was a child, he didn't giggle. When Godot was a child, he snickered all the time like a cartoon dog. His mom told him that snickering like a cartoon dog all the time would hold him back in life. So she worked with him to turn his snicker into a giggle. And this constant giggle is where he landed. Why was he snickering all the time to begin with? A better question is, why the fuck aren't we all snickering and giggling all the time? We all know what life is. You can snicker like a cartoon dog, you can weep like Leonard Cohen. I do both. Godot giggles. We took our first bite of corn. There was no weeping or giggling. There were belly laughs. It was shocking. It was nothing like any corn I'd ever tasted. It was sweet like candy. It was red, glossy, cracking candy apple coating at the fair sweet. It was maple sugar on snow in New England by sister sweet. It was baked Alaska and sugar straight out of the packet at a diner as a child sweet. And it wasn't just sweet either. Those ears of corn had so many flavors. Those ears of corn were sweet like life. My favorite Bob Dylan line, and that's saying something, is, "It frightens me, the awful truth of how sweet life can be." The corn was complicated sweet, like that line, perfect sweet, grown-up sweet. I have 2 children whom I love and I don't want to die sweet. Laugh your ass off with your buddy Godot sweet. 2 weeks of potatoes had knocked us out of our heads. We're out of our fucking crazy food is fat, sugar, salt dream world. Corn used to have no flavor at all for me. It was just fat and salt because I always covered it in butter and salt. Corn tasted just like popcorn. And popcorn tasted just like lobster and steak and every other salty, fatty food, which was every food I ate. Sad had driven me out of my real food love and mind. I'm from Western Massachusetts, and I've gone to farms to get corn that had been picked just an hour before. When my dad and I shucked it outside the house, the corn had the crisp sound and complicated smell of summer about to turn into fall. Then my mom would throw it into boiling water for an eye blink, and the smell was perfect and complicated. And then I smothered it with butter and salt. What the fucking fuck? Now I was eating bullshit, supermarket, lived in a truck for a week, jive-ass corn, and all the sweetness of life was in every kernel. Months later, after I'd lost my weight, our family visited Grandpa in Georgia, and he took us to one of those places where you pick the vegetables yourself and then leave money in a basket. It was raining, but who cares? Moxie ruined her little girl's shoes in the mud, but we still went. I didn't pick even one ear of corn or one tomato. I just stood in the rain, watching my family carefully pick the corn and deliver it to me. And standing in the rain, looking at my children, my glasses covered with rain from the outside and tears from the inside, I ate that raw, naked love of life. I didn't eat fucking butter or even a pot of water. When I saw Last Tango in Paris, Brando demonstrated the proper use of butter, and I just didn't get it at the time. Yeah, fresh-picked corn in the rain in Georgia, just picked by my son, laughing in the mud, is pretty great. But you know, store-bought, shitty corn in the middle of the desert with my snickering buddy is pretty good, too. It's certainly an exaggeration to say that the potato famine taught me how to enjoy real food. But I don't know a way to tone it down and still make it read the way I mean. Goudeau and I had become giggling hippies saying, wow, at plain corn. Matt Donnelly, our co-worker on Penn Sunday School, started the Cray Ray program several weeks after we had. And when he got to his corn day, he thought he was being punked. His first honest taste of corn was so sweet that he thought his wife had dipped it in a sugar solution just to fuck with him. He figured Goudeau and I put her up to it. And we all know Sarah well enough to know she'd do it. We hadn't and she didn't, but only because we didn't need to. Corn is crazy sweet on its own, as long as you haven't spent years beating your sense of taste, smell, and hunger with fat, sugar, and salt. We were ready to taste food in a whole new way. I love dirt dumb rock and roll. I love three-chord rock and roll, two guitars, bass, and drums behind a guy screaming about fucking. I love that. And that's what I listened to for a long time. It's easy music to listen to. You don't have to know much. You don't have to develop anything. You don't have to think. You just wiggle your ass and bang your head. It's great, easy music. If I'm in the middle of listening to Chuck Berry's Golden Decade Volume 2 or Bang Bang, and someone asks me if I want to stop and listen to a little Watzig by Elbin Berg, well, bang bang, out of the room, Elbin, you know we don't want it. But for whatever reason, years ago, I got a little sated with Four on the Floor and spent a little time learning and freshening my ears. I kind of started lyrically with Dylan and musically with Zappa and then slid into some Verez and Miles. I started to realize that music could be more than even the joy of rock. It took me years and years of Sun Ra, Stravinsky, Bach, Mingus, and Coltrane, but I changed. I still like rock and roll, but, well, much less often. Eating the sad is like being in a disco, blaring three-chord, four-on-the-floor music all day and all of the night. There might be a string quartet playing Bartok on the bandstand, but you'd never know it. I have been blaring those four chords, fat, sugar, salt, to the beat over all the complicated richness of the real food being drowned in butter. Yeah, I lost the weight for my health, and yeah, I'm glad that I look better and fit better in my clothes, and I'm wicked glad my dick looks bigger. But putting all that aside, Cray Ray also gave me an enjoyment of food that wasn't just de salt, to de sweet, to de fat, to de beat, and then to de repeat. 2 weeks of potatoes, 2 weeks of tasting plain food straight out of the dirt set me up to be able to taste the joyous excitement of plain corn. I was on my way to real enjoyment of real food, and that was making Goudeau and me laugh, because everything makes Goudeau and me laugh. Those of you who know me know there are a few things I love more than an overextended metaphor. I really want to keep this three-chord fat, sugar, salt thing up for the whole book, but sometimes it seems backward to me. What if rock and roll is plain corn and 12-tone German opera is the fat, sugar, salt thing? Doesn't that also make metaphorical sense? Is blue cheese more like Schoenberg or the Trogs? But I think the metaphor is okay. And I'm talking about our culture. I don't know what happens if you try this experiment on a child who's never heard Elvis or Bach, a child who's never had a carrot or a donut. But for me, the commercial stuff that plays to our simplest desires is rock and roll and fat, sugar, salt. Rock and roll can be complex. My favorite artist in any form is Bob Dylan. And my buddy, Chef Jet Tila, can make fat, sugar, salt taste like blonde on blonde. But I still think the metaphor feels right. When I turned off pop radio, I found richer sounds. And when I stopped eating sad all the time, I could taste bebop straight out of the ground. All my tastes changed after those 2 weeks of potatoes. Foods that I used to not like or have much of an opinion about became my favorites. Every kind of mushroom had a different flavor, and each individual mushroom had slight differences. One batch of Brussels sprouts tasted different from another from the same store. Fruit had variety among species and individuals. I have a very good friend whom I wrote about, in a very thinly disguised way, in my novel Sock. He's a carny buddy of mine who went nuts eating nothing but candy. He finally got down to eating only Jolly Ranchers. I talked to him about it a lot as he was shaking and twitching in the trailer behind the Walmart where he had parked over a storm drain for unpleasant and illegal reasons. He said it had started to disgust him that he didn't know what he was going to bite into when he bit into an apple. Sometimes sweeter, sometimes mushier. He couldn't tell what he was going to get. Big Macs gave him consistency for a while, but he started to be able to tell one individual Big Mac from another, and the differences filled him with disgust. Candy bars had more consistency, but temperature could surprise him. He ended up with just Jolly Ranchers. Two watermelon-flavored ranchers were closer to each other than any two pieces of real watermelon could ever be. When I think about his argument, now it doesn't get crazier to me. It gets saner and saner. The more I think about it, the more I think my buddy is right. Pears are the worst. Pears will always fuck you. You get a nice, ripe pear, sweet and firm, and you bite in and you think, I'm going to eat nothing but pears for the rest of my life. Then the next one you bite into is mealy or hard or just an asshole. Pears always fuck you in a way that a sour apple Jolly Rancher never will. You can trust a Jolly Rancher. You can't trust a pear. Trust or variety? My mom and dad would take me on vacation road trips, and we'd stop at Howard Johnson instead of the local restaurants because they didn't want to gamble. Type Katy Perry into the creative station based on the song or artist box of your computer, and you get really good, solid, sour apple for the rest of your life. Type in Sun Ra, and you have no idea what kind of mealy pear will be wailing on your dick. Consistency or adventure? Sour apple or a real pear? I was 59 years old and eaten nothing but cray-ray potatoes for 2 weeks. I was ready for some variation in my diet. Our three reliably satisfactory chords, fat, sugar, salt, were gone for 2 weeks. I was ready. And when I started branching out slowly into non-tubers, it was clear that everything had changed. I no longer had any idea what I liked. Let's talk about peppers. Not groovy, spicy peppers. They were part of the bad diet, and they're even a bigger part of the good diet. But bell peppers? I always hated those fucks. I never liked the taste, and they made me belch, but that wasn't what I really hated about them. I hated their attitude. They're supposed to be a vegetable, but they feel exactly like the tip of your nose. Go ahead. Reach up and push on the tip of your nose. It feels fine for the tip of a nose, but it also feels just like a bell pepper. That ain't right. Bell peppers are also hoity-toity assholes. They're not content to just be there for the eating like a potato or greens or a carrot. I've always loved carrots. Carrots are about as trustworthy and humble as you can get in a vegetable. Bell peppers are fuckwads. The pepper has to break open with a weird sound. What the fuck is that? And you got a whole lot of empty space in the middle of what's supposed to be a vegetable. Empty space and a few impossible to get rid of seeds. A carrot is all vegetable. How does a bell pepper get off with a big fucking air pocket in it? I'll take that kind of shit from a cantaloupe, but fuck you, bell pepper. I still kind of feel that way about bell peppers. They still have a shitty attitude, but they taste okay to me now. I still won't feel them. Fuck that. I'll feel my nose instead, but I'll eat them. Potatoes gave me that. I wouldn't know how much I'd really change for months after that first ear of corn, but at the end of my potato weeks, I liked all foods. All the prejudice went away. I was knocked into free love. Once in a while, I'm going to go see Twisted Sister play some rock and roll really loud. And once in a while, I would have a steak with gorgonzola and a side of bacon mac and cheese. But most of the time, I'll be listening to Bach and eating a salad. That's what potatoes did for me. Fuck, that corn was good.